I was very lucky when I came into this league. I was drafted 18th by Chicago Bulls. My first coach was Phil Jackson. So when you get drafted, that's one day of your life. Playing in the NBA, you want that to be your career. So where you go is far more important than when you go.
Rick Bucher.
I just wonder when you look at, and are we allowed to mention who you have? Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so Josh Jackson from Kansas was the big fish that B.J. Armstrong landed for the Wasserman Media Group.
This is the B.J. Armstrong and Rick Bucher Show, starring B.J. and Bucher.
All right, welcome to the BJ and Bucher podcast. I'm Rick Bucher. He's BJ Armstrong. BJ, we're just coming off of the draft, the 2017 NBA draft. We were both there in New York. Once again, we did not cross paths, but I did see you, and you were in the green room, and you gave Josh Jackson the big hug when he was selected number 4 by the Phoenix Suns. And I have to say, I was a little surprised because I thought you would go lower profile. Why did you decide to be in the green room?
Well, I've been in the green room every year. I don't know where else you can go. Like, what other
options? I know,
options?
But you're usually stealth, man. Like, you normally, I hear rumors that you were there and then I don't see you. So to actually see you on TV was just kind of stunning to me. And you looked okay with being seen and being on TV.
Well, you know, when you have a client, you know, I look at these clients as like I'm my kids. You see them from the beginning to the end. And the end was the moment that they get drafted. So, of course, I'm going to be there.
So when you gave Josh that big hug, did you say, okay, little bird, it's time for you to fly away? Was it?
You know what, Rick Bucher? You know, Rick, we're going to keep this show PG. We're
going to keep it.
But you know what? Yeah. It's time, little one. Little Obi-Wan Kenobi.
You snatched the pebble from the teacher's grasp.
May the force be with you.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So, moving on, we'll move into the first quarter. You don't have to actually answer that question. My guess is no, you didn't say that. You accompanied him to Phoenix, and all is good. But I am curious, as we go into the first quarter and we look at, especially like a team like this, the Sacramento Kings, I think I believe they drafted four players in all. And it got me to thinking about, like, how, and I don't know what your experience is, but or whether you have an overall projection on how many rookies can a team actually keep and have on a roster. And I never looked at it in this way, but I'm just thinking, and I think it's skewed to younger teams in this day and age, but what's a realistic, if you draft four guys, is it a realistic idea that you're going to have all four on the roster?
Well, I think that's a terrific question, but you have to look at each situation for what it is and where that team is currently at and what they're trying to achieve. I think in their situation right now, with the departure of DeMarcus Cousins, they're in a situation where they're trying to acquire or accumulate as much talent as they can possibly get. Mm-hmm. And when you look at that team, I really, really like their draft picks. I think the kid Fox is going to be a terrific player up here. They got the kid Justin Jackson, Giles. I thought they did an excellent job of taking a risk on his talent. He's had some history of injuries, but prior to his injury, you know, most people would consider him a top five pick. And if he can maintain his, you know, his health, I think he could turn out to be really a, you know, he could be a surprise in the draft where they got him. He's a quality player. And then I thought the kid, Frank Mason, to me, that was just great scouting. You get a quality player, a four-year player with his pedigree and tradition and history where he's coming from. So I just thought that was a very quality pick as a third point guard in this league. And I really like their draft pick.
So in a case like the Kings where they're remaking themselves and they've already let Aaron Aflalo go, they're clearly overhauling their roster. Maybe that is a place where you end up having four guys on the roster. But in
absolutely
general, when you look at teams in general, is there sort of a baseline of, you know what, if this team's going to be worth anything, you're probably talking two rookies, maybe three at the most. It's just hard for me to imagine that a fourth of your roster are guys that are just coming in the league and you're expecting to be able to compete as a playoff team, let's say.
Well, it's no secret in this league, Rick, that you win with veterans and you win with players that have the maturity and the know-it-all to know how to win and what's needed of them. You know, you need professionals. So you take a team like the Golden State Warriors, you may add one piece to that bunch. You look at Cleveland, you may add one rookie to that bunch. But overall, you add one or two pieces to integrate into your team to your team and to your culture. It's right. Very hard to bring that along and have that and really take the time and the energy that's necessary to give that young player, especially when you have a veteran team, to really integrate that player with the rest of the guys.
You know what bothers me a little bit is the Golden State Warriors. They've won 2 out of 3 championships. I'm not breaking any news there. They've been to the finals 3 years in a row. Didn't have a draft pick in this draft. They end up spending $3.5 million in order to get a second round pick, Jordan Bell. Also signed Chris Boucher from Oregon to a undrafted free agent contract. And everybody, the Warriors. The Warriors are just at a different level. The Warriors are playing chess. Everybody else is playing checkers. And I've heard the same thing about the San Antonio Spurs when they would draft. And I love the fact that the Warriors are still looking at ways to improve, to add youth, to add different aspects to their game. But I don't even know if Jordan Bell is going to make this roster necessarily. And I don't know if he can play in the league. And I look at, they took Kevin Looney. But I heard the same thing. Oh man, they're ahead of the curve. And Damian Jones. Oh, they found somebody. And neither one of those guys has played any significant role at this point. I'm not saying they won't. I hate when we get in this line where if you're winning, everything you do is smart. And if you're losing, oh, there they go again. It just becomes rote. And I look at this, like Jordan Bell, that might end up being a inspired decision. But you spent $3.5 million to go get a second round guy who I don't even know if he's going to end up playing on your team at any point. As a former executive, does that make sense, or is it he's got to pan out for it to make sense?
Well, when you have a team like the Warriors and you have a team, a true team, where everyone has pretty much defined their roles, it's just about managing effort and energy that's going to be expended so that gives you the best opportunity to win the last game of the season. You look for needs. And one of the needs of that team is trying to shore up their bigs. You can never have enough bigs that can contribute to a game during the course of a regular season and, of course, in the playoffs when size and length becomes a premium. So for them, when you have a guy that can contribute because you have such exceptional talent, it allows you to look for a specific need. You know, what does that mean? That means I don't need him to come in and score. I don't need him to come in and pass and make assists. Sure. I just need him to do a specific thing, which is defend, rebound, and be serviceable on the court. So when they double team and triple team the other guys, that you can finish at the rim in an NBA game. So of course, you know, when you play with great players, it allows the other players to just really focus in on what they do. So I think it's a tribute to how good they are as far as their players. And I love it that Draymond Green calls him immediately to let him know, hey, you party tonight, but tomorrow, buddy, you're back in the gym. That's the leadership that's needed. So I don't know how many other guys actually took the time to even care who was drafted. But to Golden State, clearly they have a culture where everyone has to fall in line. And that starts with their guys at the top. And I think that's what makes it so special right now.
You know what else it says? It says that they are making buku bucks when it comes to winning championships and selling merchandise because they just dropped $3.5 million to buy a second round pick. That's what that means too. Let's move on to the second quarter. The biggest move of the night wasn't actually a draft pick. It was the Chicago Bulls trading Jimmy Butler to the Minnesota Timberwolves. Jimmy Butler with the number 16 pick for point guard Chris Dunn, who'll be going into his second year. Zach LaVine, the wingman, who was the extraordinary dunker who's coming off an ACL surgery. Yep. And they received the 7th pick, which they used to take Arizona stretch four Lauri Markkanen. Now, when this first came down, I was doing a Facebook Live coverage of the draft, and when
you were looking at me as well, right? Because you were looking at me as well, right?
How could I look away? How could I look away? I was like, "That's B.J. Armstrong in the green room."
You were on Facebook Live? So you're doing two things
Batman,
at once.
Batman is taking his cowl off. What's he doing there? I was seeing all, and I was covering all, but when that deal went down. Having known that they've been trying to move Jimmy Butler, they've been trying to make a deal, they've been dangling him out there saying, what will you give for us, for a year now. And when it came down and I went, ooh, they got Chris Dunn. That's pretty nice. Zach LaVine, okay. And they got the 7th pick. I was good with it. I mean, I was thinking, you're trying to start over. You need to get some young pieces. You got multiple young pieces, and let's face it, Jimmy Butler, for all that he is as a player, the chemistry, we had 2 years running of chemistry that just did not seem to be working. I thought they got a haul, and then I saw on social media, saw people on TV, saw people around the league, like, they're killing the deal. The Chicago Bulls got fleeced by the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I think if you look at it just in terms of, and I've never been a quantity versus quality guy. So, yeah, it's not, hey, I got 3 pieces and it's 1. People look at what Jimmy Butler has accomplished as an all-star, an all-NBA player, his age, his contract, and they're thinking, okay, you didn't get any sure thing coming back the other way. I guess that's what they're looking at and saying that they got fleeced. I still don't think that they got fleeced because I don't know that there was anybody, BJ, they was offering them anything better. So how can you get fleeced if that's the best deal that you can make and you feel like you need to make a deal?
Well, I think there's a lot of questions, and I think this all goes back to the following. You know, once Derrick Rose was injured there, it triggered a lot of questions, of uncertainty. Was Derrick going to come back? Was Derrick going to resign? To what degree he was going to come back? And when I mean what degree, to... was he going to be the Derrick Rose of old? Was he going to be a different player? So forth and so on. I think this is all started off with the injury that started off in, I think, 2000. And when was that? 12 or somewhere around there.
That sounds right.
When he got injured.
After his MVP year.
Okay, after that. Now, once Fred Hoiberg was hired, to me, that was the key that this was going to be. We don't like to say rebuild now, right? So let's call it retooling, okay?
They don't like to say it. We can say it. They were tearing it down to the studs and starting over.
Yeah, well, I mean, let's I hear things called trust the process and all of these new terms. Let's call it what it is here, okay? You're rebuilding,
right?
Okay? Every team in the league, and here's a little secret, a little jewel, understands if you're going to win in this league today, you have to do it through the draft. There's no other way for you to be good in the NBA by acquiring players, because players are going to be at different stages of their career. So now I have young players in Chicago with Dwayne Wade. I don't understand that, but that's the decision that they went in. So in looking at it for what it is, I think it's important. I think it's important for the Bulls move forward, get rid of all of those older contracts and players,
right.
Move them to a place to where they can actually compete,
right.
Which they did. I thought that was good business on their. They could have shipped them anywhere.
Right.
You know, and that's what I commended them for. Derrick was when they moved Derrick, to a team that, you know what, it fits where he's at in his career.
Yep.
And when I look at Jimmy Butler in his situation, okay, how, what happened? It is what it is. But when I look at it, I go, that's a good situation for him. To go to Minnesota.
Yes.
That's a really nice situation for him.
Right.
And for that, I commend the professionalism of the team, because they could have shipped him anywhere.
Right.
They traded him to a place that worked for him.
Right.
And it, what they got back in return is what they wanted, rookie contracts.
Right. Let me ask you this. So I understand what you meant, because when we first started talking about this, you said the timing was odd. If they had made this deal, see, I always thought that they were going to move Jimmy and that they got Dwayne last year, basically as
right.
a cover for Derek is gone. A healthy part of our fan base is going to be unhappy that you traded away the hometown kid who was an MVP. But we're going to bring back Dwayne Wade, another hometown kid, and that's going to paper over this transition. And that they signed him to a 2-year deal. But the whole idea was, when we move Jimmy, Dwayne's not going to want to stay here anymore. And he will exercise the opt-out, or he won't exercise the opt-in on his second year. So it's really only a 1-year deal, and it makes sense. Are you saying, when you talk about the timing is odd, that if you had traded him sooner, if they could have, that maybe Wade doesn't opt into his deal and now you're dealing with that issue?
I think so. I think Dwayne Wade signing was more for Jimmy Butler and the veterans on the team than it was for the organization.
Oh, okay.
Because it's not fair for Jimmy Butler. Is an all-star. Jimmy Butler is an all-defensive player, you know, and it really annoys me when I hear players say, well, he's a two-way player. Isn't that the game?
Well, you might all like, supposed to be sure, that, but they're not all that. They're
exactly.
not all that.
Imagine that. You actually play on offense and defense. Oh, my goodness. You know, so Jimmy Butler plays the game. He plays the game very aggressively on both ends of the court.
Yes.
And that's respected, and teams are looking for players that do that. And let's face it, Jimmy Butler was drafted, what, 30th?
Yeah.
Or somewhere around there?
Yep.
So this kid has, at least in my estimate, I think Jimmy Butler, like, he has achieved more than anyone thought at, you know.
Oh, no doubt. He's a huge, I mean, you can go all the way back to how he came up. He's a huge success story.
I mean, he's a huge success story. People are rooting for him. Every time, you know, I've watched him, he plays hard and he does all the things. Now, in saying that, Jimmy Butler, I don't think at this stage of his career wants to be part of a rebuilding situation.
No.
Okay. So it was a catch-22.
Right.
Jimmy was outperforming where he was drafted. They traded away veterans, Joakim Noah, Derrick Rose, Taj Gibson.
Yep.
And they gave Dwayne Wade an opportunity to say, you know what? Let's try to win and do some things and bring along our young guys all at the same time until we can figure this out. I think they're going to be fine. But, you know, it's like, give me patience, but give it to me right now, Rick.
Yeah.
And I, who wants to start developing players? But I like what they did. At least from the potential. Now, whether it pans out, only time will tell.
There you go. We are now going to run to the halftime break. Hand it off to Shane Freeman, our producer. Enjoy the entertainment. And when we come back, it will be the third quarter. And yes, you know what that means. Time for the trivia challenge. Another victory for the Bucs!
Oh, my God.
What are you doing? It's just a halftime.
Yes, this is my favorite part of the game.
All right, guys, it's the halftime break of the BJ and Bucher podcast. And today's halftime entertainment is by the notorious B.I.G. Rest in peace, Big Fella. This song is Big Papa. If you don't know this song, then you don't know hip hop. It's another hip hop classic on the BJ and Bucher podcast. Enjoy.
I like this.
To all the ladies in the place with style and grace, allow me to lace these lyrical dishes in your bushes. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies? The back of the club, sipping my wet is where you find me. The back of the club, macking whore, my crew's behind me. Mad question asking, belly passing, music blasting. But I just can't quit because one of these homies Biggie got to creep with, sleep with, keep the ep a secret. Why not? Why blow up my spot? Because we both got hot. Now check it. I got more Mac than Craig. And in the bed, believe me, sweetie, I got enough to feed the needy. No need to be greedy. I got mad friends with Benzes, see notes by the layers, true to life players. Jump in the Rover and come over. Tell your friends, jump in the GF3. I got the gun out by the tree.
I love it when you call me Big Papa.
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
I love it when you call me Big Papa.
To the honeys, getting money, playing fellas like dummies.
I love it when you call me Big Papa.
You got a gun up in your waist, please don't shoot up the place.
Why?
Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby,
Straight up, honey, really, I'm asking. Most of these fellas think they be macking, but they be acting. Who they attracting with that line? What's your name? What's your sign? Soon as he buy that wine, I just creep up from behind and ask you what your interests are. Who you be with? Things to make you smile. What numbers to dial? You gon' be here for a while. I'm gon' call my crew. You gon' call your crew. We can rendezvous at the bar around 2. Plans to leave. Throw the keys to little C's. Pull the truck up front and roll up the next one so we can steam on the way to the telly. Go fill my belly. A T-bone steak, cheese, eggs, and Welch's grape. Conversate for a few. Cause in a few, we gon' do what we came to do. Ain't that right, boo? Forget the telly. We just go to the crib and watch a movie in the jacuzzi. Smoke L's while you do me. Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
I love it when you call me Big Poppa.
To the honeys getting money, playing fellas like dummies.
I love it when you call me Big Poppa.
You got a gun up in your waist, please don't shoot up the place.
Wow.
Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby.
All right, it's that time. Baby. It's winning time. It's Bucher time. It is the trivia challenge.
What time did you say?
It's
what did you
winning say? Time. Winning time for your boy. It's winning time for your boy. And you can't say anything otherwise because I've been kicking ass. So let's see if I do it one more time. BJ, which 1980s? You know what? I think Shane set this up. He set this up to try to get you a W. We're just coming off of Father's Day. We're just coming off. You had some guys win championships. You just had Josh Jackson drafted by the Phoenix Suns. Like, it's a good time to just keep the roll going for BJ Armstrong. So here's the first question. Which 1980s Olympic athlete was drafted in the 1984 draft by the Chicago Bulls?
Oh.
Was it the runner, Carl Lewis?
Oh.
Was it the long jumper, Bob Beamon? Was it the runner, Edwin Moses? Or was it... Seriously, Shane? Or was it the swimmer, Matt Biondi? Like, seriously, Shane?
First of all, why would I know something like this?
Hey, Matt Biondi was a baller, man.
Oh, shut up.
So
here's
this
a
player
swimmer.
Was drafted.
You know how the swimmers are built like... Swimmers are built like hobbits, man.
Hey,
they got,
man,
like, the long trunks and the short legs.
Hey,
and
they're built like Michael Phelps.
So this guy participated in the Olympics.
Participated. He was 1980s Olympic athlete, and he was drafted
by the Chicago Bulls. Why would I know? I don't know. Edwin Moses.
Oh, my goodness. No, that is incorrect.
I have no idea.
Carl Lewis was drafted by the Chicago Bulls. Now, Bob Beamon was actually an NBA draft pick, but he was not drafted by the Chicago Bulls.
All right. Okay.
What do you got for
me? Okay, here we go.
I'm just glad you didn't say Matt Biondi. I'm just glad. You know what? I feel like I should give you a quarter point just for not going there. What do you
Wasn't
got
Carl
me?
Lewis drafted by in football? Wasn't he drafted in football?
Yeah, yes, he
by
was.
By the Dallas Cowboys.
Very good. You knew he was drafted.
I don't know why I knew that, but
that's
I didn't
weird.
Know basketball.
That is
okay.
weird. All right.
You know why? I know why I didn't know Carl Lewis. I know why. I was there at the New Jersey Nets game versus the Bulls when he sang the national anthem. So I've kind
oh,
of...
Oh, Lord. Yeah. You just want to block
so
him out.
Anything with his name, I just... It's,
I'm with
I blacked out.
I'm with
I remember
hey,
that.
I got that clip. I got the clip.
And the Rockets! Star Spangled
Hold up now, I'm gonna make it up to you now.
Yeah. Right, right.
And I that, and he couldn't hit that high note. He goes, wait a minute, I'm gonna get it. Like you get a do-over on the national anthem.
So please excuse me, fans, but you know. And Carl, wow. If you're listening, I just remember that. So I'm still waiting up to you to make that up to me because it's been a long time coming. All right, here we go, Rick. Which player was not chosen number one in their respective drafts? Oscar Robertson, Wilt Chamberlain, Walt Bellamy, or Elgin Baylor?
I'm going to say Elgin Baylor.
That would be incorrect.
Damn it.
Wilt Chamberlain.
Holy cow.
The Wilt did not go. I knew that.
A territorial pick.
Damn.
All right, what you got for me?
Who was the first ever non-college player to go number one in the NBA draft? First ever non-college player.
Oh, that's a good one.
Was it Yao Ming? Was it LeBron James? Was it Dwight Howard? Or was it Kwame Brown?
Who is the first
non-college player to go number one?
So you said Yao Ming,
mm-hmm. LeBron, and Dwight LeBron. Howard, Kwame Brown.
Non-college player.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say LeBron James.
Kwame Brown. And this was really, if I understand this question correctly, it was really just a matter of which one of these guys was drafted first, right?
Yeah.
Because they all qualify as non-college players. They all went number one, but Kwame Brown was the first one drafted among these four.
Huh?
Yeah. So he was the first.
Kwame went in 2001 and Yao went in 2002.
Yep. Yeah, because that was that Eddie Curry. That was that Eddie Curry's them draft. When was LeBron James? 2003?
Yep.
I remember that draft. That was Eddie Curry, Tyson Chandler. So I knew they were all around the same. And I remember, because we drafted with the Bulls that year, we drafted Jay Williams. So I remember that. Which of these franchises have never held a first overall pick in the NBA draft? A, Chicago, B, Atlanta, C, Indiana, D, Sacramento.
Ooh.
Which of these franchises
has never held the number one pick? Are we counting Sacramento going back all the way like the Kings, like Kansas City, Buffalo, all that?
Yeah, it's franchise history.
It's in franchise history. I will say then that it has to be Indiana.
That is correct.
Wow. I thought you was going to get that one wrong.
Because of the question I asked?
Yeah, because the question you asked, I'm going, man, he's going to pick Sacramento.
Yeah. No. But I can't remember them having a number one pick during their Sacramento era.
Yeah, like, I think back when they were at Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City or going back to Buffalo. So... Yeah. Ding, 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 ding. Once again, the winner. Oh,
it's still
the winning
Rick
streak
Bucher.
Is so long. We can't. It goes beyond the curvature of the earth. You just look out to the horizon and you just, does it ever end? No, it's still going. It's amazing. We don't even need a tiebreaker. So there you go. All right, welcome to our very special guest of the BJ and Bucher podcast. He's a Michigan Wolverine. Well, he was once a Michigan Wolverine, always a Michigan Wolverine. But now, 17th pick of the 2017 NBA draft by the Milwaukee Bucks, one DJ Wilson. DJ, thank you so much for taking the time. Congratulations. You were the guy that everybody was saying that was... could mess up everybody's mock draft by moving up from the 20s to the teens. So we're all watching from the outside expecting that. What was it like for you to be on the inside of that? What did you know about where and when you would go at the beginning of the night?
I knew it was going to be somewhere in that range from, you know, the high teens to, you know, anywhere in the 20s. So I didn't really know what to expect going in. I just had somewhat, you know, a solid idea. And then I think it was around the 9th or 10th pick, Coach Kidd and the Horses Inn, they called, or they actually texted my agent, kind of just went from there, told them that it was looking like they'd pick me. And then I was on the phone with them during the 12th pick, and they just notified me that I was their guy. Told them how appreciative I was for the opportunity and everything, and then just kind of went from there. So I kind of knew beforehand to kind of just settle my nerves. But, you know, from that call, it was kind of just a matter of if another team was to take me before that 17th pick. So,
DJ, you know, can you take our listeners through the process that you went to get to this position? And the second part of that, share with us, what are you looking forward to most as you enter into the NBA? But share us, like, what were you doing? What was the preparation? What was the process getting yourself ready for the NBA draft?
I think I kind of had a unique one. You know, I waited till the deadline, the end of, what was it, May, to really make my decision. Whereas, you know, pretty much everybody else in the draft kind of opted to hire an agent right away once they were done with college ball. So, you know, I was kind of behind 3 or 4 weeks. And then I went out to L.A. And once I hired my agent and, you know, I didn't really work out with anybody, with any teams. I kind of just stayed in L.A. for that whole month. And I just had pro day. And I did well enough with pro day, you know, that kind of just resulted in me not having to work out with anybody. Kind of just went from there. So kind of had a unique situation when it came to, you know, preparing for the draft and whatnot. And then, you know, as far as this season, this upcoming season, I'm getting ready right now with my summer league team. I'm getting ready for summer league in Vegas the next couple weeks. Then after that, just, you know, getting ready for training camp, mini camp, and, you know, the rest of the season. So
What was it? Because you didn't hire an agent right away, and it seemed like you were just kind of testing the waters to see if you were going to go, if you're going to stay in the draft. Ultimately, what convinced you to make the jump?
I knew the entire time while I was kind of testing the waters that, you know, I was ready to make that impact at the next level and I could do so. I think it was just a matter of, you know, getting some feedback from, you know, different teams at the combine and whatnot, and then just finding the right fit for me as far as representation. And lucky enough, you know, I found Wasserman and my agent Mott, and once I, you know, sat down with him and knew that he was a guy, kind of just went from there.
So how long have you been practicing the pronunciation of Giannis Antetokounmpo now?
I still don't think I have it down. especially the last name. I still say Giannis, and some of the guys correct me around here. But as far as the last name, I try not to give that a try.
Yeah. Some people just call – I think Jay just calls him Alphabet. So you might want to go with that.
You know, DJ, you know, it's interesting. You know, your game is so versatile, inside, outside. You can step back, shoot the three. You can defend multiple positions. And this league now is a sort of a positionless league. Where do you see yourself kind of fitting in into this new NBA where there aren't any, you know, traditional power forwards or small forwards? You know, Giannis is playing the point guard. I think he's about 6'11". So where do you kind of see yourself fitting in initially as you make your, you know, you're beginning your career?
Yeah, I think with my size, my athleticism, I think I could just find my niche could be on the defensive end, just being able to guard multiple positions and whatnot. I think that's, you know, what could get me on the floor first. And then I think the rest of my game would just come along. You know, like you said, on the other end, on the offensive end, being able to stretch the floor, being able to knock down the three and whatnot, making plays off the dribble at my size, and use my athleticism on both ends of the floor. So, I mean, if I just use my versatility, you know, like I keep saying, for my size to the best of my ability, I think I'll do just fine.
By the way, Lanky Smooth is your Twitter handle. You know, for the Bucks, that's like a cover. Yeah. That's like a cover charge, man. you got to be Lanky Smooth just to be on that roster. What's it going to be like? I mean, what do you think it's going to be like to be with a group of athletes and guys that are all built like you?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what to expect. Never really been on a team like that before, so I couldn't tell you. I guess we got to wait and see, but kind of just crazy seeing some of the guys around the locker room and, you know, how tall and just how lanky they are and whatnot. And so I can only imagine what it's going to look like.
Yeah. Go ahead, BJ.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, now you're in Milwaukee. are you going to convert over and become a Green Bay Packer? Are you going to be a cheesehead now? That's the big question we want to know here at the BJ and Bucher podcast.
Nah, I don't think so. I'm a Niner fan. I'm a diehard Niner fan. I grew up a Niner fan. Yeah. So, unfortunately, right now we're going through, you know, a tough stretch.
Yeah, y'all going through a tough stretch. I'm a Lions fan. Y'all going through a real tough stretch. Y'all going through a tough stretch right now.
Yeah, I think we were, 2-14 last year. So hopefully we can turn it around, you know, in the near future. But now I don't think I can convert to, you know, being a Packer fan.
What's it going to be like for you? Because you grew up in the Sacramento area, which is not really a hotbed for. I think I saw something about you're like the first guy out of Sacramento. You were the first to go to a Big Ten program. What's it like to be from that area and to not only go to the Big Ten but now be, you know, in the NBA and a draft pick as high as you are?
Yeah. Yeah, I grew up in the Bay, and then I moved to Sac around middle school. So, you know, since I've been in Sac, there hasn't been, you know, a lot of guys that, you know, have made it to this level. I think I read about it the other day. I think there's 5 total, like, first rounders in, like, the Sacramento area. And I think me and Marquise Chris are 2 of them in the last 2 years. So,
oh, great. That's...
hasn't been, like, a whole lot of talent coming out the area to make it to this level. But, I don't know. It should be fun. I think the biggest adjustment is the weather, definitely. But it's something, you know, I got used to going to Michigan and whatnot with the winters. But other than that, you know, it's all good.
What's that first game?
Excellent.
What's that first game against Kings going to be like in their new arena or relatively new arena, just for you going home?
I think. You know, I'd be excited. I think playing there and at Oracle, the new stadium that's going to happen for the Warriors. Because growing up, that's, you know, I went to all the Warriors games pretty much growing up in the Bay. I went to more Warriors games than I did Kings games. So it should be exciting having a lot of family there and whatnot.
Well, that's great. Well, hey, DJ, we was on behalf of the podcast and myself and Rick, we want to appreciate you again for coming on. All the best. We're looking forward to you having a great career, and hopefully you'll come back and come back on the show once you become an NBA All-Star and you achieve all the things that you want to achieve. But congratulations again. You're going to a great organization, and we just want to say all the best to you and all much success to you moving forward.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You got it. Hope you enjoyed the show. I know that I did. If you're listening from iTunes, be sure to subscribe to the show. And this is important. Rate and leave a review. Whatever it is, positive, negative, we love to hear from you. And it's important to our sponsors that we have that kind of interaction, that we engage our listening audience. You can also check out our brand new website, bjandbucher.com. Check it out. We got a bunch of stuff going on over there. And obviously, you can always follow us on the Twitter page, at BJ and Bucher. Thanks for listening. BJ, thanks for participating. Shane, thank you for locking up another victory for me. Go Bucher.